So if you have a Bible with you, if you want to open it, or if you have a digital one, feel free to look at it. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. This is our series on following Jesus. We started 3 weeks ago. We were looking at what it looked like to be a humble servant like Jesus. What was Jesus' posture coming to the planet? He took the one of a servant. And for those who are following after Christ, we want to do that as well. When it talks about what did Jesus' life look like, what was his goal, it was ultimately one of incredible sacrifice. The road he was on took him right to the cross, and he didn't swerve from it. For those who are following Jesus, our life requires sacrifice on behalf of others that is motivated by love. This morning I'd like to look at, I entitled the message, The Road to Freedom. I was thinking about, or I guess you could say the path to freedom, either one works, but I was thinking, anybody like climbing mountains? Got any mountain climbers, hikers, casual? Okay, I got a couple, great, I see the hands. Yeah, just thinking, if you're taking maybe one of the 46 high peaks in the Adirondacks, and you're going to choose one, you might choose one that's close, you might choose that one that's easy, maybe the view, maybe there's like several of them, or maybe you want to go with the biggest one, the Marcy. But whatever mountain or hill you climb, it only begins by taking a first step. And when it comes to following Jesus and the path to freedom, oftentimes our life is like that. We see the end, it's going to be beautiful, and we see the summit, if you're able to see that while driving in, like, that's going to be gorgeous. But it's a lot of work for some of these mountains to get up there. I know some of you crush mountains, so maybe it has to be like seven will be a lot for you. But for me, one mountain or two, that's pretty high. But when we walk with the Lord, taking those steps towards freedom, it's something that we just sang about this morning. It's something that Jesus has for us. We can walk in freedom. Amen? Right? But we've got to take it by a step. Step by step by step by step. Jesus has set us free from our sins, and we now are completely free in Him. And we want to share that with as many people as possible. And the focus I want to look on freedom this morning focuses on people who are not necessarily just in spiritual slavery, but really physical slavery around the world. This will be a heavier message on the content, but I think it's one worth sharing. So let's look at Luke chapter 4, verses 18 to 19. So it gets to the context. Jesus has just started off his ministry, and he's reading from the prophet Isaiah. And this is what he reads, quoting Isaiah 61:1. He starts off with this. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives," or you use freedom, "to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Let's take a moment to pray. God, I thank you for your word. God, I pray that even these two scriptures right now would speak life to us and inform us to look more like you. God, help us to draw near to you, God, as you are ever so close to us. In Jesus' name, amen. This is like Jesus started his ministry, and this is what I'm going to be all about. In the Old Testament, one of the prophets, Isaiah, prophets are those who speak on behalf of God to others. And it was this prophetic word that the Messiah, the anointed one who would come, would be fulfilling this. And then Jesus gets up and literally reads it in front of a group of people and says, "This has now been fulfilled in your hearing. I am now the fulfillment of that." Some people got really upset with that because he's saying, like, "You're the anointed one, you're the Messiah, you're really going to be bringing about what Isaiah, one of the larger prophets in sense of scope of ministry, talked about." And Jesus is like, "This is exactly what I'm going to be about." Three things from here. He talks about freedom or liberty for the poor. Oftentimes in the Bible, it focuses specifically on those who are spiritually bankrupt. Those who are spiritually poor, that have no resources, which is really the whole planet, have no resources spiritually to be able to have a relationship with God. Hence why Jesus came on a rescue mission, but ultimately took him on a path to the cross to die for our sins, and he raised again. But he also spent a lot of time with the economically poor. If you look at Jesus, if you read Matthew, Mark, or Luke, or John, the gospel accounts of Jesus, he didn't spend a lot of time hanging out with the really well-off and the rich and just comfortable living. He was with the outsiders, those who were rejected by the religious caste at the time, those who were poor, those who had diseases that no one else would hang around with, sicknesses. That's who Jesus would spend time with. He talks about bringing sight to the blind. And once again, he allowed us to see, spiritually be able to see. But also, there's so many occurrences in the Gospels of him literally healing people who are blind. Isn't that awesome? like literally going and healing people who are blind. God, you have that power. And I shared this before. I know my wife, when she was younger, she had to pray for a friend who wasn't blind but was colorblind. And the Lord healed them through two just times of praying back to back. And if you see that in scripture, that's actually pretty normal in Jesus' ministry. You see that he came to bring freedom and liberty for the prisoners. Those who are ultimately our biggest need is spiritual freedom in Jesus' name. But he's also bringing freedom that I believe would overflow into, we want to see everyone, man and woman on the planet, walk in freedom spiritually but also physically. Sight to the blind to be able to see and to set the oppressed free. This is not a new theme. He's quoting the Old Testament, but this was a theme that was shown all across the Old Testament. This idea that those in power, those who had the leadership ability to stop oppression and violence and all these kinds of things should be doing that. But oftentimes, if you read the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, there's leaders and rulers who are doing the exact opposite. They're either pulling the passive card of doing nothing, or they're actively oppressing the poor. And God would use prophets time and time again. Those are those who speak on behalf of God to bring warning, to bring judgment on those who are not being on the side of the broken, the poor, and the oppressed. And I'm going to go through a list. Hold on with me. Just to show that this is all over the Old Testament. Jesus is mentioning that. And then the New Testament later, it's also mentioned again. So let's look at some of these examples of prophets, those who speak on behalf of God to others. And let's start off with King David. So King David, he was a man after God's own heart, but he made some pretty big mistakes. He was confronted by the prophet Nathan for abusing his power to commit adultery and rape and murder. King David was also condemned for failing to punish Ammon for the rape of Tamar. If you look at Isaiah, another prophet, he confronts the king of Israel because their hands are stained with blood. Jeremiah confronts the kings of Israel and Babylon because their clothes are soaked with lifeblood of the innocent poor, and they do not seek justice or defend the cause of the poor. The whole idea of the leaders in the Old Testament was to glorify God, bring people together, and be able to care for the poor and the broken and the fatherless and the widows, not to oppress them. Ezekiel cries out against the rulers of Jerusalem who are like wolves tearing their prey. They kill people to make unjust gain. The prophet Hosea calls King Jeroboam to account because under his rule, there is only lying, murder, stealing, and adultery, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. And that is not something you want, like, as a subtitle, as a leadership thing, right? It's like, what are you all about? Lying, stealing, bloodshed. That's not what you want. They are not following what God has instructed them to do. That's why the prophets are speaking to them on behalf of God. The prophet Amos calls the king of Judah to account for debt slavery, for trampling the needy, and for taking bribes and depriving the poor of justice in the courts. The prophet Obadiah confronts the rulers of Edom for complicity in slaughter, violence, and slavery. Micah calls out the rulers of Judah because the rich people are violent and their judges ask for bribe and pervert justice. They're supposed to be bringing justice, but instead they're perverting justice. The prophet Nahum pronounces God's judgment on the Assyrian king for running a city of bloodshed and endless cruelty. Prophet Nehemiah raises his prophetic voice to stop the Jewish nobles and officials who are allowing the rape and enslavement of the weak in their own community. You guys are seeing some problems, right? That's why God's addressing. There's a lot of problems going on. Zephaniah pronounces God's judgment on the kings of Judah, who fills their homes with evil gain of violence and fraud. The prophet Zechariah tells the deputies of the king who want to talk about religious fasting that what really matters is whether they minister justice. And it specifically talks about something that says, do not oppress the widow, or the orphan, or the foreigner, or the poor. This is referred to, some people refer to this as the quartet of the vulnerable. And this phrase of these four different categories is oftentimes mentioned throughout the Old Testament and highlighted in the New. In the New Testament, John the Baptist, who calls all the people to repentance, but names three. The tax collectors who are robbing the people, the soldiers who are extorting money from the people, and King Herod, who is stealing another man's wife. All of them are rulers abusing the power God has allowed them to have. And then, of course, lastly, there's Jesus, who, in the climactic story of the New Testament, is crucified under Pontius Pilate for having done nothing wrong. So I know it's a lot, so thanks for being bearing with me, but I just want to show the Old Testament. There's a lot of messages. A lot of the Old Testament writings and the prophecies are directed towards leaders who are abusing their power, who have the power to preserve and promote justice, but instead pervert it or passively ignore it. It's an Old Testament issue. You see it in the New Testament. When we did our James series this summer, you see James, the brother of Jesus, saying, hey, you know, religion that's pure and faultless is to look after widows and orphans in their distress. Warden's a combination of both of them. But widows and orphans in their distress. It's not a new concept. It's not even as old. It's literally something that God has a passion to see justice brought to those where there is no justice. But as we probably can guess, if you look through your bulletin or your notes, this is still an issue today, right? There's still those in our world who don't have freedom. I'm talking about physical freedom. In places where there's no justice of any kind operating. And I wanted to share a little bit about just the problem that we face even today. I can remember where I put my notes. There we go. Still a serious problem. So let's talk about slavery for a moment. There are still over 40 million people who are held in slavery today. It's a huge number, 40 million people that are in slavery. One in four of those slaves is a child. For human trafficking generates about $150 billion, that's with a B, dollars a year, and two-thirds from commercial sexual exploitation. I just read a ton of stories and statistics underneath that, and they just, I'm not going to share them all right now, but just know there'd be a huge problem sexual exploitation among young boys, young girls, women, men, cyber sex trafficking. There's huge problems in this area. In 2016, a child went missing in India every 12 minutes. Every 12 minutes. Talk about darkness. Pat, I appreciate how you're talking about how there's light. Jesus brings light and there's darkness and light in India. May God's light penetrate into the darkness there, specifically with these children. 50% of missing children have not been found. So I want to tell you about an organization called International Justice Mission. This is the third time we've done what's referred to often as a Freedom Sunday. It's bringing awareness to a problem that probably for many of us, maybe we know about or maybe we're not super informed on, but that it's a real problem. I can't imagine these 40 million who are in slavery at this moment. Who's advocating? Who's fighting for them? And there's an organization, it's a Christian organization, that its goal is to eliminate slavery everywhere in the world. Pretty good goal, right? Eliminate slavery everywhere. Like, may that happen, Lord, soon. Everywhere, that they will be free. So let me tell you a little bit about International Justice Mission, and then we're going to watch a video that kind of illustrates kind of what they do. So they're anti-slavery. They're the largest international anti-slavery organization in the world. Their vision is to rescue millions, they protect half a billion, and make justice for the poor unstoppable. More than 49,000 people have been rescued from oppression. They work where justice systems are unable to protect the oppressed from violence. They are helping local justice systems protect more than 150 million people from violence around the world. And they work all around the world, but specifically in 19 communities where they've been really trying to bring acceleration of justice. There's more than 67,000 justice system officials trained to recognize and respond to violence since 2012, and more than 16,000 convictions against slave owners, rapists, and other criminals. You see in the words, the prophets in the Old Testament, that, like, if you see what International Justice Mission is doing, like, that was what the Old Testament Israelites were supposed to be doing. Bringing freedom to those who are crushed, provision to those who are raped, bringing freedom and safety. And this is exactly, we still have the same sin issues, but thankfully, Jesus offers us solutions. Amen? Amen. Jesus is still greater, we can be part of that. So what I want to do now, we're going to have an opportunity to watch. It's a video, it's with subtitles. It looks at, I've watched this video several times, and every time I'm crying at the end of it, because it breaks my heart. But it looks at just the brokenness of specifically slavery, forced labor, of people who are in systems that they can't get out of. It's a betrayal, but it is somewhat intense if you have little ones, just to give you a heads up on that. But it does offer hope in it as well. So at this point, if we can launch the video right up here in just a couple minutes. Take a moment to pray and just be quiet before the Lord. Lord, I thank you for how you come and rescued us in such a powerful way. God, for watching a video like this. Overwhelmed so many different levels. God, thank you for this family who's been rescued. And Lord, I just want to take a moment to pray for those, the other 40 million who have yet to have freedom, those who are forced labor and slavery, and maybe it's because of $15, it's only $15, and it's taken from families, God, and children in cyber sex slavery and sexual slavery, God. God, we pray for freedom. Lord, I pray as we're processing all this that Lord, you can speak to us. What are you asking us to do? Because ultimately, we're going to be led by you, Lord. What are the things we do, the way we live, the way we care, Lord? Help us to reflect more and more of Jesus. In your name, amen. Amen. They said it several times. I watched this video, and just that one part where it just talks about $15, right? $15 to help a daughter who was sick, stuck in an indefinite forced labor situation until the International Justice Mission came. That's just one story. I want to reread, as I'll be wrapping up soon, what Jesus said when he started his ministry. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." I want to invite up the musicians at this time. It's a lot to try to take all that in. Junior Sunday, I know it's probably wasn't what was on the top of your head, but it's a topic, I think, that we need to not forget, right? We can go so quickly from here to the next week and forget about the plight of so many on the same planet who are not living the same kind of lives that we're living. They're living in a place of pain and brokenness, forgotten, probably wondering who will remember them. I'm hoping that one day it'd be awesome if it's in our lifetime or my lifetime together, but it'd be great to do a Freedom Sunday where all we do is celebrate the freedom of 40 million slaves. Wouldn't that be awesome? Where we don't have to keep bringing it up. We're just kind of like, man, aren't we so awesome that slavery's been eradicated? Let's just celebrate with Jesus. That's the heart of the International Justice Mission. The first time I heard about this was actually from a college student from SUNY Potsdam. So go, college students. Kelly McCarthy, 8 years ago, said, "Let's do a freedom night." It was kind of like this, a Freedom Sunday, but we ran it at night right here. I think on maybe a Friday night or something. Never heard of this group. I heard about it later on, and I'll be honest, I didn't really plug in more. It always broke my heart. It's been something that's been on my heart. And even first Freedom Sunday I shared 3 years ago, and then last year, just felt like, Lord, what are you stirring? What are responses? Definitely want to be praying for those. Let us not forget. But are there any practical ways I can be involved? And a really practical way, which you've probably seen in your bulletin or inserts, is partnering with the International Justice Mission, if that's something the Lord might want you to do. And it's really good to ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because after seeing a video like that, hearing statistics that are so heavy, you might feel obligated to give something or be part of it. You really want to just be led by the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? And it wasn't until last year that my wife Crystal and I were praying, and we really felt for us, like, God, I think he really wants to be part of stepping up as a what they call a freedom partner. $24 a month. It allows two things. One is It supports the ministry, and it's like fuels international justice mission around the world. But two, which is really neat, you'll get urgent updates and emails for ways to be praying. As we know, prayer isn't like a second line of defense. It's really offense in the spiritual realm. And having these emails, this information, that we can be informed and be praying. God, this is ways we can be praying for justice and righteousness and your mercy to be spread all around the globe. So if that is something that you are maybe interested in learning more about, you can go online if you're looking for a digital resource. I believe that link should be working now. If not, you can just go right to their.org. And they have currently a matching foundation, donor, which will match up to $705,000 for September donations. So if you're interested in donating a one-off time or becoming a monthly, check it out. If you're just learning about this, I encourage you to look into it more, learn more about the organization. There's a table out in the lobby that has prayer cards. So if you're looking for a real practical way, maybe you're like, oh, I don't really feel like God's wanting me to financially give, which is fine, but you feel like, I really feel like I should be praying for specific ways, there's really awesome prayer cards right out in the lobby. Alex will be out at the table if you have any questions. Also, if you would like to contribute financially, the forms in your bulletins, and there's some on the table. If you like to do it with old school paper money, that still works, right? But also digitally as well, feel free to check that out. So once again, there's no obligation for you to have to partner with this organization, but I would like you to at least pray about it. Lord, is there something that you might want to be part of? If not part of, maybe at least praying for those who are still in bondage and in slavery. I love the songs we were singing this morning about that there's freedom, right, in Jesus' name. Isn't that wonderful? We can just dance with that, sing that. And even if you're in slavery, you could still sing that. But Lord, may they sing it all the way around, right? Jesus is my Savior, and God, I am free. I'm free indeed in the most sense of freedom, the word freedom. So at this time, I'm going to transition. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have a closing song. We'll have prayer teams up here. We'd love to pray for you. If any of this hits you really close to home, you're realizing I just need some prayer processing, or maybe you've been the victim of injustice, and you're realizing this is bringing up pain and hurt, we can pray for healing in your life this morning in Jesus' name. Afterwards, we'll be having fellowship time and our fellowship hall. We'll also be having the table in the lobby if you're interested to learn more. Let's just take a moment to close in prayer before this song and the benediction. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for the hope you bring us. God, I can't imagine what your posture was like when you looked down at the planet or what your thoughts were. We saw a whole world in rebellion to you. You invite us to love you and love others. Oftentimes there's no love for you and not a love for anyone else on this planet. But God, you bring hope. And Lord, I pray for hope to arise in us, God. I pray that we not leave here. We're just feeling utterly hopeless. But God, I pray that we can see a situation that's dark and look at the hope of Jesus, which brings light into dark places. God, we pray that your light would shine brightly in us and through us. God, may our prayers focus in on you and your global children. God, may we not forget those who are in slavery. But God, may we continue to intercede and to pray and to care for those that oftentimes are forgotten. But Lord, we thank you they are not forgotten by you. Because you love every single one of those children, moms, dads, men and women, God, who are in bondage right now. Lord, we pray that they would know freedom in the fullest extent. In Jesus' name. Amen. Like Jesus.